Good morning. This is Long Island Morning Edition on 88.3 WLIW-FM, heard in central and western Suffolk on 96.9 FM. I'm Michael Mackey. Pointing to billions of dollars in recent LIRR investments, the head of the MTA on Monday said Long Island should be willing to pay more to support transit, even if many of its residents are still working from home. Alfonso A. Castillo reports on Newsday.com that, speaking at a budget hearing yesterday held by the state legislature in Albany, Metropolitan Transportation Authority Chairman and CEO Jen O'Lieber defended a proposal made by Governor Kathy Hochul last week to increase the state's payroll mobility tax by 47%, from 34 cents for every $100 of payroll to 50 cents for eligible employers. Quote, "I don't think it's unreasonable to ask the businesses who are for the first time getting reverse commuting to participate in the payroll tax," said Lieber, referencing the Long Island Railroad's enhanced ability to bring workers from New York City to jobs on Long Island. The $800 million the state expects to generate from the bump would go to the MTA, which says it is facing a recurring $2 billion deficit caused by low ridership during the COVID-19 pandemic. The MTA chairman also said he believes major employers in New York City should pay, even if many former LIRR commuters from Long Island are working from home. The alternative, Lieber said, would be underfunding a transit system that is still relied upon by those less fortunate. They deserve the same frequent, reliable, safe service they've come to depend on, even if very affluent New Yorkers, mostly in white-collar jobs, aren't using mass transit as frequently, Lieber said, just because they work from home all the way from East Hampton. Metropolitan Transportation Authority Chairman and CEO Jen O'Lieber told state lawmakers yesterday he will push the powerful labor unions at the Long Island Railroad for work rule reforms following a New York Post expose of widespread waste and inefficiency at the agency that cost hundreds of millions of dollars a year. The contracts allow engineers to earn quadruple time on a standard 8-hour shift, and conductors earn double pay for working a train for a Mets game, while LIRR labor practices include putting as many as a half dozen ticket collectors on a single train. Nolan Hicks reports in the New York Post that just bringing the Long Island Railroad wages and workforce efficiency in line with Metro North would save the MTA more than $200 million annually, the Post investigation found. Quote, "My predecessors had railroad agreements, many of which date to the early 20th century, because the Long Island Railroad's been around that long," Lieber said. "Sometimes you need to update, and that's what we will do. We'll put those issues on the table." The New York State budget includes at least $1.6 billion for the MTA. Restaurant Depot, which plans to open its fourth Long Island warehouse in Riverhead later this year, was granted financial assistance for the Route 58 development by the Riverhead Industrial Development Agency yesterday. Denise Civiletti reports on RiverheadLocal.com that the Riverhead IDA board voted 4-0 to approve the benefits package, comprising sales and use tax exemptions not to exceed $253,580 and real property tax exemptions totaling $553,786 over a period of 10 years, according to IDA documents. The abatement amount will decline over the 10-year period, and the company will pay full taxes beginning in year 11. With a continuation of the public hearing on the proposed plan for access to the John Steinbeck property located at 2 Bluff Lane in Sag Harbor, the Southampton Town Board has provided the public with access to the plan. Lisa Finn reports on Patch.com that the public hearing is slated for Tuesday, February 14th, that's next Tuesday, at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, both in person in the town boardroom of Southampton Town Hall, located at 116 Hampton Road in Southampton, and via video conferencing. Having the access plan in advance of the public hearing will afford interested individuals the opportunity to review it and offer comments for the record, according to town officials. The 1.8-acre parcel at the end of Bluff Point Lane in Sag Harbor was bought by John and Elaine Steinbeck in 1955, and nearly 50 years later is still in the family, town officials said. In 1938, the area was developed as Beach Haven, also known as Nunacoma Park, park and promoted with the slogan, Get Back to a Simple Life. West of Sag Harbor Village and at the end of a peninsula, the Steinbeck Summer House at 2 Bluff Point Lane fronts Morris and Upper Sag Harbor Coves. The wooded property includes the pre-World War II main house, a guest cottage, a two-car garage, a swimming pool, a 60-foot pier, and the crowning jewel, the circa 1958 writing studio, designed by the Nobel Prize winner himself to resemble a small lighthouse. He named it Joyous Guard for Sir Lancelot's castle, according to the town. That's in Sag Harbor. Former Congressman Lee Zeldin announced yesterday that he is starting a new political action committee without Nancy Marks, the longtime treasurer he shared with disgraced Representative George Santos. Quote, we will be announcing a new federal PAC that is being stood up right now, utilizing a different treasurer. Zeldin, the Republican from Shirley, Long Island, said at the New York State Conservative Party Political Action Conference in Albany, New York. Victor Nava reports in the New York Post that Marks notified the Federal Election Commission last week that she had resigned from Santos' campaign and his affiliated political committees. Her announcement came a week after the Santos campaign named a replacement who claims he did not agree to take the job amid the discovery of numerous campaign finance irregularities that appear to have caught the eyes of federal investigators. The treasurer has something like close to 200 different accounts, Zeldin said, referring to Marks, according to Politico, distancing himself from Marks. Marks has served as Zeldin's campaign treasurer since his 2010 election to represent a district in Suffolk County in the New York State Senate. Former Republican gubernatorial candidate Lee Zeldin of Shirley, Long Island, is keeping his future options open and would not rule out a challenge of Democratic Senator Kirsten Gillibrand next year. As quoted in the New York Post, I will re-enter government service, but I don't have anything to announce right now, Zeldin told reporters in Albany yesterday in his first press conference since Election Day, in a race that saw him lose 53% to 47% last November to Governor Kathy Hochul in Democrat-dominated New York State. Gillibrand stoked rumors of a 2024 matchup after fundraising off the idea while announcing her intention last month to run for another term in office for the U.S. Senate. The Port Jefferson Long Island nursing home that pronounced the resident dead Saturday, only to be discovered alive at a Miller Place funeral home, has received $22,000 in fines from the New York State Health Department through the past decade for a range of safety and health violations, according to records. The violations include failing to properly investigate accidents or to promptly notify family members when a resident was hospitalized. Robert Brodsky and Ariel Martinez report on Newsday.com that since 2019, Water's Edge Rehab and Nursing Center at Port Jefferson has received 14 citations from the state, less than the state average, and none that resulted in, quote, actual harm or immediate jeopardy of residents, health department records show. But the 120-bed facility has received 91 complaints from residents or family members during that same time period, well exceeding the state average, state data shows. This past Saturday at 11:15 a.m., an unidentified 82-year-old woman was pronounced dead at Water's Edge and was taken more than 2 hours later to O.B. Davis Funeral Home in Miller Place, quote, where it was determined she was breathing, Suffolk police said. She was taken to a hospital for treatment, said police, who did not provide an update on the case yesterday. The incident is being investigated by the State Health Department, which confirmed the investigation into whether the facility failed to meet state or federal requirements, but declined to comment further as the probe is ongoing. The Office of State Attorney General Letitia James is also investigating the incident. This has been Long Island Local News on Long Island's only NPR station, WLIW-FM. I'm Michael Mackey.